verse 9. As we continue to go through Colossians, verse by verse, I've really been encouraged. I know we're only in verse 9, but Colossians, as is with the rest of the Bible, it's all good. But I've been encouraged looking at these verses thus far. And I'm praying that you and I could really get a hold of these, and that our prayer lives would be transformed. That our prayer lives would not be shallow praying, but that we would truly be praying Scripture. Let's start reading in verse 9. Let's stand together as we read the Word of God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Father, we come to you again tonight. Lowly, Lord, needy. And we may not see our need, but Lord, help us to see our need for you. Lord, I pray that we would be filled with the knowledge of your will and wisdom and spiritual understanding. Lord, that we would take in your word. And as we take it in, that we would understand it, that we would apply it, and that our lives, Lord, would be transformed to be more pleasing to you. So that we may continue to bring you honor and glory. That we may be grounded in the truth. And that we may know how to stand against and in the storms that we go through in this life. Help us, Lord, that our eyes may continually be upon you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So here in verse 9, again, we see Paul and those who are with Paul, those who are accompanying Paul. There are, again, we see evidence here that they have been praying for the Colossians. And this praying for the Colossians is not just, Lord, help those in Colossae. Amen. No, this is a deep prayer. This is a prayer that is scriptural, a prayer that is not lacking like most prayers are lacking today from you and I. And again, that we want to, again, let's point out that the church at Colossae, the Colossians, they were doing right. They were doing what they were supposed to be doing. They were not off in sin. This letter is not a rebuke written to them like the letter of 1 Corinthians and the letter to the Galatians. These were letters of rebuke. Sin was not abounding in the church at Colossae, nor was they desiring fleshly glory in what they were doing, whether in church or with the brethren or anywhere else. Though heresy was, it's apparent that heresy was trying to invade the church and get a foothold in the church. And though this is truly one of the reasons why Paul is writing this letter, heresy had not yet gotten in. And that's why we see things such as in verse 23 that he says, if ye continue in the faith. And there, so this is a very encouraging letter to the church at Colossae. No doubt that Paul was thrilled to write this letter after hearing their pastor talk about how the gospel was working in them, through them, and bringing forth fruit in them, and again through them, that fruit was abounding. So as Paul heard this report from Epaphras, he prayed, he praised God. And here we see in verse 9 again, he is praising God again and continuing to make supplication for the Colossians. They were happy to be doing this. Pray and desire here is also in the present tense, which means they were continually and repeatedly doing this. Pray and desire means to supplicate. Again, pray also means to worship. So that's what Paul was doing, is that he was worshiping the Lord as he's been doing in the previous verses, praising God for the work he's done in the Colossians, and at the same time interceding for them, that they that he would continue, and that they would continue to hear and obey the gospel. He was also praying that they might be filled. Filled with the knowledge of his will and in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. What's interesting about this word filled, when I looked it up as I began to study this verse, it means to fill with joy. And this brings with it the idea of having an abundant supply to be filled with joy. Turn to John 15, please. John chapter 15. Our blessed life is in Jesus Christ. Our blessed life. And Christ wants you and I to be full of joy. Now, this does not mean that we won't have bad times or heartaches, but that during these bad times and during these heartaches that we can still be full of joy. We may weep, we may cry, we may hurt, but through all this, we still have fullness of joy. Look in verse 10 of John 15. Notice he says, if ye keep my commandments. Now what are his commandments? The word of God. Ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. Watch verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be what? Full. Fullness of joy. Look in John chapter 17. Let's start in verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Of course, he's speaking of the disciples here. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my what? Joy fulfilled where? In themselves. Watch this in verse 14. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Understand that though they were going to be under severe persecution, and all but one apostle would die a martyr's death, it was Christ's prayer that they would still be filled with joy. This joy is not superficial joy. In other words, it's not just outward show. It is real, true joy. And this joy is in the Lord. And we know it's in the Lord by the Scriptures. Christ tells the Pharisees back in John chapter 7, search the Scriptures. For in them, talk about the Scriptures, they speak of who? Him. How do we learn about Christ? How do we learn about who Christ is, what he's done, doing, and going to do? We learn this by the Scriptures. In 1 John chapter 4, chapter 1, verse 4. 1 John chapter 1, verse 4. Bible says, these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Now notice he says, these things write we unto you. Now why is he writing them? So that they can read them, learn them, understand them, and then after this, their joy may be full. In other words, it may be complete. Complete joy. Notice in these verses that true joy comes from Christ. And from us knowing the Scriptures. Paul is constantly praying for the church at Colossae, as he is for other Christians, that their joy may be full. Understand this. He's not praying for health and wealth. That's not what he's praying for. You read about the Apostle Paul, you find out he suffered much, yet he had fullness of joy. He's praying that they would be filled with the Scripture. Now, why is it, let's stop for a second and think about it, why is it that you and I need to be filled with the Scripture? Because it is a Scripture that regulates you and I, or should regulate you and I. This is very important. But let's do some more flipping. Let's turn to Psalms 119. Here is a verse of Scripture that we are, most of us know, we've heard it. We could probably quote it. And we often misquote it like I do, getting them confused. But Psalms 119, 105 says, Thy word is a what? Lamp to what? Unto my feet. And a light unto my what? Path. Now we know the Scripture, don't we? But what does it mean? Good question. We know it, we hear it, we quote it, we preach it. But what does it mean? Now not only do we see here that each step that is taken, or that we see each step that is taken, but each step that is taken is governed by the Word of God. Means we are stepping on solid ground. I know we hear cliches today like take a blind leap of faith. Faith is not blind. Amen? Faith has substance. So each step that we take is to be directed by knowledge. Directed by the Word of God. When y'all walk, do you have to tell your feet to take a step? Or is it automatic? It's automatic, ain't it? When you kick a football or a soccer ball or a dog or a cat, do you have to say, foot, raise up, kick the cat hard? Do you have to say that? No, it's just automatic, ain't it? It just does it. Whether it's your cat or somebody else's cat, don't matter. That's why God made cats for kicking, in case y'all didn't know that. But as it is when we walk, now stay with me, okay? As it is as we walk, and we don't need to tell our feet, take a step, left foot, step forward, too far, come back. No, as we walk, and it's natural to us, when you and I are in the Word of God, and we are regulated by the Word of God, it comes natural for us that the steps that we take in life will be according to the will of God. Knowledge in Colossians 1:9 means recognition, full discernment, acknowledgement, full knowledge. And it's spoken of what is known in the New Testament of God, Christ, and divine things. And simply this, we learn about God and Christ through the Scriptures. Let me ask you this. In Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas is in prison. They're singing praises to God, right? At midnight, they're singing praises to God. God sends an earthquake. All the doors open up, chains fall off, the guard gets ready to kill himself. And they say, don't kill yourself, we're all still here. He comes trembling in saying, what must I do to be what? Now what was he looking for? Yes, salvation, but how? Through what? Feelings? Through experiences? No, through knowledge. Now where does this come from? It comes from the Word of God. If you go to someone and say, you need to be saved. From what? Why? What are you going to say? Oh, I don't know. No, you say, this is what the Word of God says. We bring Scripture. We give Scripture. We live Scripture. We eat Scripture. We breathe Scripture. We find God's will only in God's Word. Look what the Bible says in Colossians 1:9. That ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will. You know, lots of folks say they're looking for the will of God, when in reality they're looking for a yes to their desire. Knowledge governs us. speed limit on the roads out here is what, 55? What is that speed limit sign for? To do what? To govern us, to regulate our speed. And the only way we know that is by knowing what it says, speed limit 55. It regulates us. Knowledge governs us. Now watch this. Knowledge keeps us from being reckless. This is, as I was thinking about this, I kind of laughed a little bit. You know, we have a work day coming up this Saturday. And I have a zeal to finish all the addition. I mean, this zeal, it drives me to finish the addition back here. Here's the problem. I have a zeal, but you know what I don't have to finish it? Knowledge. Brother Jeremy mentioned about putting some mud on there tonight after church in the back yonder. Hey, I can go do that. I got the zeal. I don't have the knowledge. We got to do what? Paint? I can do that. I got the zeal. Let's get back there and get with it. But you know what's going to happen? I'm going to make a wreck of it. I mean, it's going to be bad. Y'all would probably vote me out because I'm a reckless pastor. Either that or y'all would vote to ban me from any work days. That's a thought. It worked in the kitchen one time. I burned eggs. Got banned from the kitchen. Amen. Look in Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. Zeal is having it's heat, it's fervent. There's different definitions for zeal. Some husbands have a zeal for their wives, which means they are very, very jealous of their wives, over their wives. Verse 1 of Romans 10, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record. In other words, Paul is saying, I bear witness that they have a zeal of God. And do they? Did they? Oh yeah, they sure did. But not according to what? So what kind of zeal was this? A reckless zeal. Watch verse 3. For they being what? Ignorant of God's righteousness. Now notice they had a zeal of God, did they not? But they were ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. What were they doing? They were trying to earn their way to heaven, make their own way. They made up their laws, their traditions. And if anybody broke them, they looked down on them. I'm talking about their own laws, their own traditions. These are the same ones that crucified Jesus Christ. Israel. Yeah, they had a fervent zeal of God. Paul talked about this in Philippians chapter 3, verse 6. Paul was also one time a Pharisee. Verse 5 says, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal. Do you think Paul had zeal? Watch what he did. Persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law. How? Blameless. Did Paul have a zeal? Did he do what he did in ignorance? He said he did back over in 1 Timothy. Zeal without knowledge is dangerous. Zeal without knowledge hurts and destroys. How many of y'all ever heard of Martin Luther? A great reformer back in the 1500s. Martin Luther had a zeal for God. But it was without knowledge. So do you know what he tried to do? He tried to work his way to heaven. If you study his life and read about his life, it's amazing. One day he was studying to be a lawyer. He had a brilliant mind. Everyone could see he had a brilliant mind. He was on horseback. A storm come up and lightning struck. And the horse reared up and he fell off. And of course he thought he was dead. And he made a deal right there and said, "Oh Lord, if you'll get me out of here, I'll serve you." So from that point forward, he had a zeal. I mean, he quit going to be a lawyer, and he went to the place where monks go, the monastery. He went there because he had made a deal with God. He had a zeal, so therefore he began to learn, and he learned the Bible. He tried to work his way to heaven. He climbed stairs on his knees until they bled. He fasted, he prayed, was mad at God often. You know, multitudes of people are like this, have a zeal without true knowledge. Then one day, as he began to study in the book of Romans, he got to chapter 1, verse 17. And this is what he read. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. He had read this scripture multiple times before in studying the Word of God. Well, this time something was different. The last part of this scripture jumped out to him. The just shall live by faith. Do you know what he had? He had a zeal without knowledge. He was miserable with no joy. He read this. The Lord opened up his understanding, as he did with Lydia in the book of Acts 16, opened up her heart. He trusted Jesus Christ by faith, and his life was forever changed. Yet he still had zeal. But now this zeal was governed. Now this zeal was regulated by Scripture. And through this, we have what's called the Reformation. Here's where we must really be careful. Now, I know that I preach Bible, I preach doctrines all the time. I preach scriptures upon scripture upon scripture. We have a high view of the Word of God here. We're not worried about entertainment. We're more concerned about the Word of God. Here's where we must be careful. We can grow in knowledge constantly and become cold as ice to the things of God and to people. We can even get to the point where we think we are something because of what we know. This makes us prideful. And listen, folks, if all we have is knowledge, then we are not full of joy. Matter of fact, we have no joy if all we have is knowledge, and we end up being angry. Think about the Pharisees. Did they have knowledge? Did they know the Old Testament? I promise you they did. How many times in the Gospels do we read about the Pharisees, and even in the book of Acts and so on and so forth, that they are happy? What are they always doing? They're mad. They're always trying to kill somebody. Mainly Jesus. No joy. Full of knowledge, no joy. Not careful, we can become legalistic. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, a very familiar scripture that we know. It says, now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge, but knowledge does what? Puffeth up. But charity edifieth. And you and I, we are to edify, not puff up. Knowledge here in 1 Corinthians is spoken of what one knows, generally, of the knowledge of Christianity. Now, can we grow in the Word of God? I mean, can we gain knowledge? Yes, we can. This verse right here specifically tells us we can. Puffeth is to make proud. The Pharisees were full of knowledge, and every time we read about them again, they were angry. They had knowledge, but here's the difference. They were not governed by this knowledge. Therefore, like me with a paintbrush, what were they? They were dangerous. not just to themselves, but to anyone who is standing around them. When they would read the Word of God, it was always good for someone else. It never applied to their own lives. Matthew 23, verses 1 through 4 says this, "Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not." Watch verse 4. "For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers." Church houses today are full of Pharisees. They often say things like this, "Man, I wish so-and-so would have been here today for that message. They really need to hear that one." And it's not that they just say that, but they say it in a sense like, "I don't need to hear it." So here's a question I ask you and I is, how long has it been since a message that we've heard, since the Scriptures have spoken to us personally? It's a good question. Verse 9 of Colossians 1. "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Wisdom is the ability to regulate oneself with God. This is very interesting. The ability to regulate oneself with God. We know and we apply to our lives as much as we want to. With this in mind, look back at the first part of verse 9. He says, "For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be" what? "Filled." Paul understood our flesh. He understood it. You know why? He's flesh. Romans chapter 7. Paul was inspired of God to write Romans chapter 7. He wrote the inspired word. So he understands that our flesh, we often want to get to a certain place and then kind of plateau there. This is an action that says that ye might be filled. This is an action that has not occurred yet. So in other words, the Colossians were doing good. They were doing right, but they had not been filled with the Scripture. Now folks, I got some good news and some bad news. You and I have not been filled either. And we won't in this life, to an extent. Understand what I'm saying? That we are, I said it to say this, we are to constantly be what? Growing in the knowledge and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we do this, there are fruits that abound or come forth from this. And we'll look at that, Lord willing, next week. But let's keep going here. We are not to plateau in our walk with the Lord. In other words, don't get to a place where you say, "I've learned enough, so I'm good enough." We should continue to be filled with the Scriptures. Verse 9, though, goes on to say, "in spiritual understanding." Spiritual here is pertaining to or proceeding from the Holy Spirit, while understanding is taking what you are getting and putting it together in your mind. Have you ever been reading the Scriptures and all of a sudden it's like a light bulb goes off? Boom, you're like, "Wow." That's what that means. Wow. What happened? It just did what? Came together. It came together. That's good, ain't it? This is, in a sense, this is application. This is applying the Scripture to our lives. Now, we know we have a spiritual understanding of wisdom and knowledge of Scripture when we apply what we learn to our lives. The result is that we will know more about God, know more about Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Therefore, our joy will be what? Full. Amen? I'm glad we got distractions. Amen. Ain't that good? Thank God for kids. Brother Clint, you want to go check on him? Make sure his brains are still there. Amen. Hallelujah. So we have spiritual understanding of wisdom, of knowledge of Scripture. When we apply Scripture to our lives, now folks, our flesh does not like this. Have you ever seen that the more that you try to do good, the more your flesh is against you? Like the first 2 days that you submit yourself to praying early in the mornings goes pretty good. But about that third day, what your flesh starts saying? No, sleep in. Amen? How about family devotions? Giving family devotions. Guys, let's not do it tonight. Let's not do it tomorrow night. Before long, it's a month, 2 months, 6 months without family devotions. Our flesh does not like us getting in the Word of God. The Bible says our flesh has enmity. It's a heated hatred there to God. It's carnal. It's against God. That's how our flesh is. That's why it's such a struggle for you and I to apply Scriptures to our lives. I think we can all say that we've learned Scripture before and have not applied it, but have taken what we've learned and told others to apply it to their lives. So what happens when we apply this to our lives, when we apply Scripture to our lives? Well, the result is that, first of all, knowing Scripture, understanding Scripture, having the wisdom of the Scripture means that we know more about God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. We know the truth about God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit, because there are a lot of lies out there about God, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And therefore, when we know these things, our joy will be full. So the result of this is that we will be able to joyously live in such a way that pleases the Lord. That means every step we take will be governed by the Scripture. That means the steps we take will be pleasing the Lord. And these steps will also be joyous. And these steps may be stepping through the valley of the shadow of death. We may be during dark times, good times. It doesn't matter what kind of times you're in. When you're walking in such a way as this, being filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, we will be walking with joy. Full of joy in the Lord. Now understand that spiritual understanding is given to us by who? Holy Spirit. We must understand that. Application is whose responsibility? Ours. It's also our responsibility to get in and study God's Word. I think I said this maybe last Sunday. I'm not for sure when I said this, but if this is the only place that you study the Word of God, then I can dare say that your life is not joyous in the Lord. And that you're not being obedient to the Word of God. You know, 1 John 5:21 says, little children, keep yourselves from what? Idols. This is our responsibility. Who has given us the power to do this? God. Yet it is our responsibility. 2 Timothy 2:15 says to do what? Study, to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that thee not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What does this mean that we must do? Study. Study. Stay in the Word. Stay in the Word. So very important we stay in the Word. If we are not a student of God's Word, we will not be filled. Now understand this. We can be filled with feelings, can't we? And emotions. I've heard many people say that, oh, man, that was a great church service. I mean, it was tremendous. What was the preaching about? I don't know. Well, then why was it so good? It felt great. So in other words, they were filled with what? Emotions. So if they're filled with emotions, they are also governed by what? Emotions. Here's the problem. Emotions always do what? Change. Emotions are up here, then they're down here. No, God wants us steady, walking with Him, filled with joy. And the only way we can do that is by getting in the Word of God. If we're not in the Word of God, we'll just kind of go through the motions of life. There may be a spurt here and there. And if you really look at these spurts in our lives, these spurts are when we are filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. This is when we are in the Word of God. Can anyone say amen there? Amen. But think about it this way for a second. Now, folks, I'm not trying to be high and mighty. I promise you I'm not. Do y'all have struggles in the spiritual walk? I do too. A man says he don't, he's a liar. Amen? Flesh is against God. But this world always has something to pull at you and I. Always something. It may be our kids, it may be our job. You name things in your life. Amen? Always trying to pull on us to get our focus away from God. To fill our minds with things other than the Scriptures. It's not wrong to read a magazine. It's not wrong to read a book. Don't take that the wrong way. Amen? But we are to always be filled with what? Scriptures. Scriptures. And as this world pulls on us, Scripture will guide us. What was it that Christ... I think Brother Jeremy may have touched on this. I don't remember this past Sunday, or Brother Brad. But what was it that Christ used when He was tempted of Satan? Scripture. Scripture. So in other words, Satan was defeated by what? Scripture. So Christ didn't deviate from the path that God, the Father, had Him on because of the Scriptures. So important, folks, that we stay in the Scriptures. We should always apply what we learn from the Scriptures. And as I mentioned a while ago, this is not easy. We must purpose to do this. It is especially not easy in the day that we live of impatience. But though it's not easy, it is profitable for you and I, to everyone, when we are filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Folks, there's not a 10-step program here. Do these 10 things and that's it. No, simply read the Bible. Read Colossians chapter 1 and grasp these things. Pray, beg God to help show us His Word. Prayerfully get in the Word of God. Study it and apply it. Make sure that your zeal is not reckless. Can we be there? I promise you. Can we have a reckless zeal in witnessing? Well, if you're running around hitting everybody on the head with a hammer and you're full of zeal about it, what's going to happen after a while? Somebody's either going to hit you back or they're all going to run from you when they see you coming. And there are some of those whom we hurt whom will never listen to us again because of reckless zeal. Lord, help us learn these things. Something else, we can walk with confidence knowing that every step we take is directed by the Word of God. I understand, trust me, I know that we all mess up and every step we take is not directed by the Word of God, but that's not God's fault. Who's to blame there? Us. Us. Paul prayed for these people who were doing right. that they would be filled with the knowledge of God's will, and that they would have all wisdom and spiritual understanding. When we know the Scriptures, then we can rightly apply them in every aspect of life. And in doing this, then we will live for the Lord. Therefore, we regulate our life with God through the Scriptures. Amen. Lord willing, next week we'll pick up in verse 10, and we may get down to verse 12, and we will see some of the fruits of having a life regulated by the Word of God. Let's look at the beginning of verse 10. That ye may what? Walk. And that goes with the rest of these verses. That ye may walk as a lifestyle. Amen. Ain't God good? He didn't just save us and throw us to the side and say, there it is, boys, girls, have fun. No. Christ gave us the Word. Amen.